This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Audrey Raj and with me this Monday afternoon is
Frida Liu.
On the show today for Monday, the 19th of July, we are going to be discussing workplace stress and anxiety. We also have a story about factory closures in order to, well, keep the COVID numbers down. And we'll end the show
about the COVID-19 self-test kits, which is available in Malaysia.
Yes, starting today. At any point in time, if you'd like to send us your thoughts on any of the stories we'll be discussing today, you can do that
via Instagram and Twitter at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We're doing this tag thing where she looks at me, points the finger at me. And
keeping you on your toes this Monday. Tomorrow is a public holiday. So, you know, today we've got to earn our money. Now, Frida, this story about workplace stress and anxiety is something that we wanted to do for quite a bit.
Right.
Now, contrary to popular belief, stress and long-term anxiety aren't really the same thing. And some of us may just mistake one for the other, especially in the workplace. Now, while stress is to be expected from time to time, unaddressed anxiety at the workplace can actually impact one's performance and overall happiness. Now, you know, that's why we thought we'd cover this on the show.
Right. So we came across this very interesting article on Thoughtful's website, and full is spelled with two L's, that breaks down the meaning and the difference between work stress and work anxiety. Basically, if you're a working individual, you're probably familiar with the stress and anxiety that comes with having a job. So it's completely normal to feel stress from time to time, but being overwhelmed at work on a regular basis might indicate that you're experiencing work anxiety. So according to an article published by the World Economic Forum, an estimate of 275 million people suffer from anxiety disorders. And although there isn't an official diagnosis specifically for work anxiety, there are several signs commonly seen among people whose anxiety is impacted by work. And here's how to tell the two apart. So physical signs: difficulty falling asleep, check. Feeling jittery, shaking or trembling, okay, no. Tiredness or fatigue, feeling like there's a lump in your throat, dry mouth, a pounding, racing heart. As the social and emotional signs, taking an unusual amount of time off work, overreacting to situations on the job, focusing too much on negative aspects of the job, struggling to concentrate or complete tasks by the deadline, and excessive or irrational worrying.
Yeah, so what exactly causes work anxiety? Now, according to Thoughtful, various aspects can act as contributors. So you've got relationship factors, you know, dealing with workplace bullying and discrimination, maintaining relationships with your co-workers, maybe even managing your staff, or if you have a demanding boss. Now, work factors include meeting tight deadlines. You know, maybe you're working long hours, you've got a heavy workload. There's a lack of direction on some of the tasks that you've been assigned, or even a lack of control over the environment that you have to work in, your work environment. Or maybe there's a low reward, as in, like, you're not, you feel like you're not being paid enough, or you don't have the benefits in order to, you know, do your job as happily as you would.
Right. Now, let's talk about the effects of work anxiety, which tends to spill over multiple aspects of your life, not just at work. So effects on your work: reduced job performance and quality of work, increased conflict with co-workers and superiors, and I have these daily arguments with Audrey, problems with concentration, fatigue, irritability, turning down opportunities due to intense fears, you know, public speaking, speaking in meetings, reduced job satisfaction and feeling like you're not making a difference, experiencing job loss or the fear of it. The effects on your personal life: your relationship with your friends and family is negatively impacted, feeling isolated and depressed, developing clinical and diagnosable levels of anxiety, and your physical health is compromised, poor diet, lack of exercise and sleep.
Now, all of this, you know, it might sound quite bleak, right? But not to worry. There are solutions and ways for you to address, to properly address work anxiety. So you need to, convincing yourself to stop being anxious, you know, it's a little like telling yourself to go to sleep when you have insomnia. It's just not that simple, right? Therefore, confronting anxiety requires you to take actionable steps. So, number one, inform your employer. Speaking to your employer about your anxiety is anxiety-provoking not of itself.
Right.
Although we fear that being vulnerable may risk us getting fired, there are laws to protect us from these cases. More so, many employers now are prepared for these situations with burnout on the rise. By speaking up, your management can address your problems by referring you to various support programs or even modifying your work conditions, right? Mm. Now, apart from reaching out to your employer, here are some tactics you can use to manage your anxiety about work. Number one, have a regular wind-down routine. You know, ensure you make time for yourself a few times a week, or maybe even like if it's just an hour in a day.
Yeah.
Disconnect yourself from your screen by going outdoors or engage in a hobby that you enjoy. The other thing you can do is you can connect with loved ones. Make it a priority to engage in fulfilling social events to stay connected with your community. In the office, you may have regular lunch breaks with your colleagues. If you're working from home, maybe make time with your loved ones, or schedule like a video call, you know, like I do with Frida, you know, when I'm feeling a bit down. You could also reflect and practice gratitude. Examine your work fears to distinguish which are irrational and which are real. Also, keep a journal where you note down the good things in your job and your life. And these practices can help shift your perspective into a more positive light.
Right. If nothing you try has given you any relief, there could be a more serious issue. Excessive and constant anxiety could also indicate that the job itself is problematic. Toxic work cultures, excessive demands, and poorly matched expectations are signs that you need to make a change. Instead of always assuming the problem is you, consider changing aspects of your work that may help your anxiety, such as, you know, switching job positions and duties, finding a healthier, more supportive workplace, changing careers to find something better suited for your needs. Remember, while a professional life is important, it's definitely not worth sacrificing your mental health. You know, I'm just looking at this, right? So this happens in the workplace, anxiety and stress and all that. Now it is accelerated by the pandemic, right?
Yes, so like many other things during this pandemic, right?
Right. So I mean, you know, like even this conversation that you're trying to have I've heard this where people try to speak to the boss and I'm not feeling well, and people say, get over it. Yeah, right. So you hear these things, right? And so it's not helping the situation. So again, right, maybe the problem is not you. And I know, like she's saying, like change your job and everything. And people are fearful.
Yeah.
I don't want to move. I'm scared. I can't find a job elsewhere.
Also, what is the job market like in this pandemic, right? Mm. You're so worried about holding on to your job. You feel sometimes you feel like you absolutely have to because you don't have a choice. But you know, like for me, it was important for us to cover this story because like some of the social and emotional signs of work anxiety are very, we might just brush them off thinking that, you know, we're just stressed because it's the pandemic, you know, like, and I'm just going to go through those again. Taking an unusual amount of time off work, you're just distancing yourself from work because you're just, oh my God, I can't deal with work right now. Overreacting to situations on the job where maybe someone's assigned you a small task, but you think it's gargantuan because, you know, you just can't take it. Focusing too much on negative aspects of your job. It's just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I have to get up and go to work on Monday, kind of thing, you know, struggling to concentrate or complete tasks by the deadline, and excessive or irrational worrying about the job. Like these are like simple things that can affect anyone. But if you're experiencing these things, it could be work anxiety, and you need to know the difference because this is long-term effects of stress.
Right, right, right. And of course, I have met people who have anxiety disorders, and it's really, really, you know, sad, right? And these are the, you know, people I know, right?
So debilitating, crippling.
Because it's not visible, right? I don't have a flu, right? It's not visible in that sense. Or flu is so taboo word now, but what I'm saying, it's not visible in that sense. And you're just wondering, why is this person anxious? But these are things that come out, right? And it affects you, right?
Yeah. So when we come back, we're actually going to have the founder and CEO of Thoughtful, Joan Lau, on the line with us. And we've got some questions for her to help us better understand the difference between stress and work anxiety, and also what you can do if you find that you are suffering from work anxiety. But in the meantime, if you want to send us your thoughts, talk to us about what you're going through, 018-789-8899 is the number to reach us on WhatsApp. You can also reach us on Twitter and on Instagram. At BFM Radio is our handle. Taking us into our next talk set is The Miracles with You've Really Got a Hold on Me. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Brave Finance Managers, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with Frida Liu and Audrey Raj. On the show today, we are discussing a whole bunch of stuff.
Right. We're discussing workplace stress and anxiety, questions about factory closure authority and COVID-19 self-test kits in Malaysia. Let us know your thoughts. Instagram, Twitter, BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899.
Yeah. So our top story today is actually about differentiating between work stress and work anxiety, because they can seem like this same thing, but one is definitely heavier and more serious than the other. And we have on the line with us right now, Joan Lau, founder and CEO of Thoughtful. And Thoughtful, they've been on BFM before on Open for Business. And if you're interested to find out more about them, they are a mental health app that can help you with bite-sized coaching if you just need someone to talk to during difficult times, right?
Right.
Joan, thank you for staying on the line with us. You know, just to kick things off, the signs of work anxiety seem to overlap with daily work stress. Is there a way to make a proper distinction to tell them apart?
Stress is a feeling of strain or pressure caused by the presence of a current stressor. Anxiety, on the other hand, is actually characterized by excessive worry or strain due to the anticipation of something bad or stressful. So I think the biggest difference here between anxiety and stress is the fact that for stress, it's something that's present, it's happening. Whereas for anxiety, it's something that has not come to pass yet. Technically, though, if the stressor is prolonged, then stress can actually turn into anxiety because you anticipate the problem to be there tomorrow, which then makes you anxious today.
Yeah.
So I think the best way to make the proper distinction is really, firstly, of course, understanding this huge difference here between current versus future. And also, I think it's good to speak to a qualified counselor or psychologist or mental health professional who would be able to use certain tools to help you actually understand which bucket do you fall into more. Now, on our app, Thoughtful Chat, we actually do have a depression, anxiety and stress scale where we would be able to help you measure at what levels of stress, anxiety and depression you're at. If anyone is, you know, interested to find out what their current levels are, they can always go into the app and take it at their own time. This is not a diagnosis or a prognosis. It is, think of it almost as a weighing scale where you do a quick check-in at a certain point in time to understand how much you weigh. Only thing this one is really a weighing scale for your mind.
Right. So that's an interesting picture, right? Now, Joan, is it harder to tackle work anxiety compared to work stress in the long term?
Absolutely. It's always harder to tackle work anxiety compared to work stress in the long term. Because for work stress, this is directly related to a stressor or a factor that causes stress that's currently happening right now in the present. So if you remove the stressor, then the stress is gone. But for anxiety, on the other hand, now this is the anticipation of a stress factor in the future. And so removing the stressor alone is actually not sufficient. What we really should be examining when it comes to work anxiety is our reaction to a specific stressor. What are our thoughts around it? How are we reacting to it in terms of physically, physiologically, emotionally? How is it affecting us? And are there certain thoughts that it's triggering in us that's causing us to have this anxiety? So really the focus and in terms of the solution to tackling work anxiety is to examine these thoughts and reactions and how we can frame it and look at it differently.
What if the work anxiety and stress is influenced by factors that have nothing to do with work, like the pandemic, right? So how can people cope?
I think when it comes to, you know, anxiety that is influenced by factors outside of work. So, for example, right now, I think the pandemic is definitely front and center in everyone's lives. I think this is a situation where we can focus on what can be controlled rather than obsess over what is beyond our control. So things we can control may fall into, you know, various aspects of our lives, right? It could be work, it could be lifestyle habits like eating, moving, sleeping, and of course, most importantly, our thoughts. This is often the neglected part. It's often overlooked, but this is probably the most important part of everything. Usually stress and anxiety is not so much caused by one particular factor itself, but really more of our reaction to it. And so this is why, you know, different people handle different circumstances differently, and they have varying degrees of reactions, right? So to better learn how to focus and control our thoughts and reactions, really, we would recommend working with a qualified mental health professional. It could be a counselor, it could be a psychologist. Use them as a mirror, you know, work with them so that, you know, they can help you reflect on how you're viewing certain things, perceiving certain things, and reacting to certain things. Now on Thoughtful's chat app, that's where we have self-driven tools to actually help with thought reframing if you want to do it on your own, as well as, you know, easy access to counselors and psychologists who can actually coach you through this whole process.
All right. Joan, if someone is experiencing these issues, what's the best way to escalate their concerns to management?
I think if someone is experiencing, you know, extreme work anxiety and stress, I think one of the best ways to, you know, escalate these concerns would really depend, again, on the company's protocols. Some companies have avenues where employees can anonymously escalate such issues, in which case, by all means, you know, do utilize it. It's set up for a reason. But there are companies who do not have these channels set up. And so for those who don't have anonymous channels for employees to provide feedback, I think there are typically two options. One is either, you know, going through the HR route where you speak to your HR business executive so that you can actually voice your concerns. Or the other route is, you know, I guess going up through that command chain, whether it's your direct manager, your analyst manager, your mentor, if you have a mentor within the firm, and making sure that, you know, it's constructively reflected for the company to take into consideration. Now, for those who are afraid of escalating their concerns, we hear you, we understand this is not very common in our culture yet, but know that it takes tremendous courage and we applaud you. And that you're most probably speaking up on behalf of a lot of your peers who are most likely going through the same thing that you are going through. So, you know, definitely much respect.
Right, Joan. And now, speaking about hesitancy, are there routine checks management or employers can carry out to detect if employees are undergoing bouts of stress and anxiety? You know, because some employees may not want to be forthcoming about their mental health, right?
Absolutely. Routine checks are important both at an organizational level as well as an individual level. Now, the way we work with employers is actually to provide both app-based and non-app-based solutions. So, for example, by making Thoughtful Chat app available to all employees within the firm, what we're doing is providing an avenue, a resource for employers to empower employees to individually track their own levels of stress, anxiety, depression, as well as their moods over time. Now, the clinical assessment that we use is the Depression Anxiety Stress Scale, which is also used by the Ministry of Health. And we recommend that employees do this periodically to get a litmus test of, you know, how they're faring at that certain point in time. Mm-hmm. Now, for mood trackers, we do recommend that employees do this on a daily basis, because this will allow them to gain a better understanding of how their moods are fluctuating in tandem with everything that's going on in their life, whether pandemic-related, work-related, or home-related. And so such insights are actually very important for management and HR to understand the pulse on the ground, because that's how they're able to really respond adequately to employees' needs by providing them with the necessary resources. Something that we find a lot is that there's always a disconnect between what management thinks their employees want and what employees actually want from management. Mm. And so, you know, while employees might be unhappy about certain things, management might not even know about it. Mm. They might provide resources that are not directly targeting, you know, the pain points. So this is where Thoughtful actually serves within the corporate setting. We actually serve as that professional and also independent intermediary between an employer and an employee to ensure that all the employees are taken care of while still protecting their privacy and confidentiality at all times.
All right. Final question, Joan. In situations where the work culture or situation can't be fixed, is leaving or quitting the best option?
When is quitting the best option when it comes to a toxic work culture? I think this is a very important question to ask, and thank you for that. Sometimes I think it's about fit. Now, every organization, department, and also team will have its own culture and characteristics. So depending on the person, some environments will allow someone to thrive, whereas for some, it might pose great challenges. So I think as an employee and an employer, there are different things that can be done. Now, as an employee, I think it's very important to understand ourselves first. Know what our character and personality is like. What are our strengths and skill sets? And what environments will actually allow us to thrive? Because with that understanding, we can then assess whether the current environment we're in is suitable for us or not. Mm-hmm. Now, if you think that the current space might not be the best fit, now assess again, which levels or aspects is not a good fit? Is this not a good fit at the team level, at the role level? Perhaps the company itself is not a good fit, or the industry as a whole. Now, if it's larger factors such as company and industry, then I think it might be a bit hard to make big changes all at once. And so maybe in these kind of circumstances, it might be best to part ways. Now, again, I want to put a caveat here because I understand that there is a great stigma and also shame in quitting. Because our society has perpetuated a culture of, you know, never giving up, always keep going, and all of that. But by the same token, there is also great self-awareness and courage when we know what helps us thrive and we make that decision to change our environment so that we can play to our strengths and allow ourselves to thrive healthily rather than not. Now, if the fit is not right at the role and team level, perhaps it's a good option to actually speak with your employer to see what other roles may help you make a bigger contribution to the firm. Now, the last part in terms of, you know, in an employer level, I think we have to realize for everyone at all at once at the outset. So the most important thing is to really imbue a culture of psychological safety, where you create channels for constructive feedback and a close feedback loop. Now, that's where your people can provide, you know, very good insights into how improvements can be made and how the organization as a whole can grow from strength to strength.
Right. Thank you for that, Joan. That was Joan Lau, founder and CEO of Thoughtful. Some really good points that she made. You know, and I'm just coming back to that one point where she said, like, sometimes you really need to escalate. You know, right. If you're feeling these things, or you notice colleagues and teammates feelings, you know, maybe work anxiety, you feel maybe work anxiety, you really need to escalate it, because management may not be aware that this is what it's like, you know, when you're performing your duties, especially now during this pandemic, you know, because we're all, some of us may be working from home, maybe you're working on rotation and you don't see the right people or your supervisor. You know, you really need to be talking about this, communicating this and escalating these issues to management, because they might be trying to soften the blow in areas where it doesn't even impact you.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, if you feel like you've been experiencing workplace stress or anxiety, you'd like to share some thoughts with us, the numbers to do that are
018-789-8899, Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio.
When we come back, we're going to ask some questions about factory closure authority, especially, you know, with all these cases on the rise. And speaking of factories, taking us into that talk set is Joan Jett and the Black Hearts with Bad Reputation. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.